Hello and welcome to another installment of Lum and Abner, the 30-minute episodes. This is your host, Keith. Now today, before we get started, I wanted to just roll back the clock, as they say, and share a few snippets of Lum and Abner as they sounded in their first known season in 1935. This would be the episode that aired on March 1st. And you can see how Chet Lock and Teffy Goff presented Lum and Abner. A little more gentler and kinder Abner than he appears in these 30-minute shows. And in this episode, to set it up, Abner had just been voted in as president of the Jot Down store after a story arc about electing a new president, about the flashlight promotions that they had had. And so here he is in some of his first official duties, making a blunder. And amongst these clips, we also have a classic moment of old Eddard sayings, which don't appear so often in the 30-minute episodes. It would be nice if they did, but occasionally you'll see a wordplay thing like this pop up. And of course, the luck that Lum and Abner has, they always seem to stumble upon some sort of a good deal that Squire recognizes and wants to horn in on. And either Squire wants some of the action, or in this case, he's a convenient foil, I guess you could say, to push off Abner's mistake. And it's not really pushing off if he's asking for it, right? Anyway, here's just a few minutes. Enjoy, and I'll see you when it's done.
Yeah, very obvious. As much soap as we've got on hand here, and you pitch in and buy 10 more cases.
Yeah, but we ain't got nothing like that World Wonder. That's the outdooring stuff I ever seen in a way of soap.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me none if that fella don't just put that $25 in his pockets and we never will get no soap at all.
Well, now, they better send it. I'll make them send us that $25 back. I got a receipt from it.
Oh, you did?
Why, of course I did. You don't think I'd just turn that money over to him without even giving me some kind of assurance for it, do you?
Mm-hmm, I didn't know.
I know what I had it here. Yeah.
Received of Mr. Peabody, $25.
Yeah, I made him give me that.
Yeah, but there ain't no name signed to it.
Huh?
He give you a receipt, all right, but he never signed no name to it. Ain't worth the paper thrown on. Oh, sir, you made your bed, now you just have to lay in.
Well, now, if he wants to... Huh?
I said you made your bed, now you can just lay in.
Well, what's me laying up in bed got to do with this soap deal?
Never said nothing about you laying up in bed. I said you made your bed. Now
I never made my bed, though. Elizabeth always makes up the bed, though, at our place.
That ain't the kind of bed I'm talking about.
Well, that's the only kind of bed we've got, Mom, except the folding bed down the parlor, and we ain't used that, and I don't know why.
For goodness sake, Abner, you can't get nothing straight in your head.
Well, you mean just because that fella maybe beat me out of $25 that I ought to go to bed for a while?
No, I ain't talking about you going to bed. I just using that old Eddard saying. You made your bed, now you've got to lay in it.
Well, I just won't do it. I won't do it. I ain't got no use for a fella that'll lay around in bed all day.
I told you that ain't the kind of bed I'm talking about, though.
You ain't talking about flower bed, Daddy.
No, of course I ain't.
Well, he's got some flower beds out there in the yard, but no, Elizabeth won't even let the dog lay in there much later.
If you don't shut up, I'm going to fix you to where you'll have to lay in bed. Now, just hush up about it. You're the finest fella on a body's patience I ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you're just mad because I won't do what you want me to. Think I'm going to lay around in bed all the time just because you said
it. Well, that's some squire skin. Let me get out of here. I don't even want to talk to you.
Oh, for goodness sake. Let him what he won't know.
I don't know, but if he tries to say anything, don't even listen to it.
No, I just stuck my hands in my ears. Oh, I couldn't hear nothing, man. I wouldn't want to do that with nobody.
Well, I'll be back after a while, Andrew.
Well, good afternoon, Norm.
Oh,
good afternoon.
Hey, Squire.
You're not leaving, are you, Norm?
Yeah, I think I've got some business to tend to, Squire. Abner's in the store there. He'll wait on me.
Oh, yes, yes. Hello, Abner. Hello. You're the very one I want to see.
Howdy, Squire. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to have a little talk with you, Abner.
Well, sit down, sit down.
Yes, thank you. What I come over to see you about, Abner, Grandpappy Spears was telling me that you bought some soap down here yesterday. World wonder soap, I believe he called it. Said it had anything deep that he'd ever seen.
Yeah, well, Grandpap was down here when the fellow demon stayed to tell me.
He was telling me about it. Said the fellow took a white handkerchief out of his pocket and smeared axle grease all over it and then took that soap and washed the stains right out of it.
Well, he claimed it was axle grease.
I understand that you've got the exclusive right for this territory, Abner.
Well, he told me I did. I reckon I have.
Well, now, Abner, I was just sitting over at the place thinking a while ago, you and Lum has got this store here, and that occupies all your time. I'm sort of looking around myself for some kind of a little business to get into now. The real estate game ain't very lively right now. I was just thinking that maybe if I offered you a little profit on the deal, that you might be willing to turn that agency, the exclusive rights on that soap, over to me.
No, I reckon not, Squire. Better not tell it to nobody, reckon. It might not turn out so well, and then they'd want to hold me responsible.
Well, now, I'll never hold you responsible, Abner, if I come over here and bought it with my own free will and accord.
Yeah, but now, that soap might not be no count at all, Squire.
Well, I'm willing to take them chances, Abner, after what Grandpappy said. I believe I can take the agency for that soap and make a good living out of it.
Well, I don't know. I've got my doubts about it.
Well, now, before I left the office over there, I sort of drawed up a little agreement here, Abner. You might look it over anyway. Now, there ain't a thing in it that'll bind you in any way. Says, to whom it may concern.
Oh, one of them things, huh?
For the sum of $50 cash, I do hereby agree to turn over to M.K. Skimp the exclusive rights on the World Wonder Soap for the Pine Ridge Territory. Signed. Then you can sign your name right down there.
Did I understand you to say $50?
Well, now, yes, but now that's just a figure that I said down there, Abner. How does $75 sound to you?
$75?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Abner. I'll make that an even $100, but now that's just as high as I'm going to go.
Well, now, Squire, if you're just bound and determined to buy that, I'm going to let you have it. Give me $100, and I don't get outside of it. But I'm telling you right now, Squire, you're going to have to start making your own beds if you lay in them.
All right, and I do want to remind you that if you enjoy Lum and Abner as much as I do, you may want to check out the Facebook group, Lum and Abner Radio Fan Group. I think that's what it's called. Join the group. There's lots of Lum and Abner fans there who would love to talk to you about Lum and Abner, answer your questions, or just have some fun reliving favorite moments from our favorite Arkansas heroes here. With that said, let me see. Oh, yeah, National Lum and Abner Society, which can be found at lumandabner.org. Check it out for all the official info on Lum and Abner. Take it away, Retrobots.
Get ready for the Golden Fleece Finance Company. It aired on February 20th, 1949.
The Lum and Abner Show, on the air for Frigidaire. Frigidaire, a division of General Motors, presents a brand new comedy show starring Lum and Abner.
Hey, Abner, listen to this. Dear Mr. Eddards, it is a pleasure to inform you that your Lodge brothers have voted to send you to Leavenworth, Kansas.
Huh?
As a delegate to the National Convention.
Oh.
Of the Royal Order of Great Horned Owls.
You had me worried there for a minute, Lum. I don't think they could ever prove nothing on you, though.
Reckon why they're holding it in Leavenworth this year.
Well, more likely so all the past Lodge treasures can attend the meetings, Lum.
Says, you have been appointed head of the committee to hand out the convention pins.
Well, I'll say one thing, they couldn't have found a better pinhead.
You have also been selected...
Now, wait a minute, Lum. You can't afford to go up there.
Oh, well, let me read you this part here.
Oh.
As for your expenses, full arrangements have been made through the generosity of your lodge brothers to pay your taxi fare from the depot to the hotel. And all you have to pay is your train fare, hotel bill, and meal.
And if I know them generous lodge brothers of yours, I bound you the hotel's in the same building with the depot, too.
Grannies, I must not have read that good the first time.
Don't read so good the second time, neither.
Well, I know I ain't going to miss a chance like this. What have we got in the cash drawer now?
My lunch.
Blame it. Wait a minute. Abner, you know that money your woman's got saved up in that sugar bowl? Would you steal that from me? Just temporary, of course.
Law, no, that'd be just like committing suicide.
Why, Grannies, I'll steal it then. I've just got to get to that convention, even if I have to embezzle the money.
Why do you?
Because they picked me to make a speech there.
What on?
Honesty in business.
America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Yes, any way you look at it, America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Number one in popularity. For more Frigidaire refrigerators serve in more American homes than any other make. Yes, more than 10 million refrigerating units have been built and sold by Frigidaire. Frigidaire is number one in thrilling new advantages, as you can see for yourself at any Frigidaire dealers. And number one in dependability. For Frigidaire refrigerators are made only by General Motors. And this association of experience, of skill with skill, is your guarantee of lasting satisfaction. So when it comes to a new refrigerator for your home, remember this. The first name you think of is the right one to buy. Frigidaire. America's number one refrigerator.
Grannies, I don't know how I can ever raise enough money to get to that convention. I'll need at least $200, and the thing starts tomorrow.
Yeah, well, let's name over all the friends that you've got that might lend you the money.
All right.
Well, that didn't take long.
What other great ideas have you got?
Well, we could sell my cornet. That is, if we could find enough money to get it out of the hawk shop.
That ain't no use. My only hope is to find some man that's smart enough to have made a lot of money and dumb enough to lend me some of it.
Hey, wait a minute. There comes Sister Simpson, Lum. She might be able to help you locate somebody. Men is one of her favorite subjects.
Well, howdy, Sister Simpson.
Howdy, Lum. Howdy, Abner. How's your woman?
Oh, just tolerably.
Say, Sister Simpson, I'm looking for a man with money.
Well, brother, who ain't?
Well, I just want one that's got close to $200.
I just want one close.
Say, maybe you could lend the money to Lum.
Well, I'd love to, but I've just had so much expenses over at the boarding house lately.
Oh?
Do you know I've had to have that termite exterminator over there a half a dozen times this week?
Well, what'd you have to get him over there so many times for?
Have you seen how good-looking he is?
Yeah, but I never thought them exterminators come so high.
Oh, it ain't that. What's breaking me is buying them termites to keep throwing under the house. Oh.
Well, listen, Sister Simpson, if you could just lend me a little money, it'd help me get to the convention.
Well, I've got a little extra cash.
There's going to be 1,500 men there, and I just...
1,500 men?
Wait a minute, where are you going?
Well, where do you think I'm going to take off to the convention? So long.
Well, how do you like that? Fine bunch of friends I've got.
Well, doggies, Lum, you can be glad you ain't going up to Leavenworth now. When she gets there, the only fellers that'll be safe will be them on the inside of the wall.
Well, hi, Grannies, I ain't giving up. I'm going to that convention or know the reason why.
Well, I can tell you the reason why right now. You're broke.
Wait a minute. There comes Ben Withers. I bound you he'll help me out. There's one fella that's always ready to go to the bat for you.
Yeah, the only trouble is he always strikes out.
Well, howdy, Ben, old boy, old pal.
Good morning, good morning.
Say, Ben, old friend, you don't know where a feller could raise a couple of $100 awful fast, do you?
Fine. Well, that's as good as any idea Lum's had so far.
Well, Lum, the best thing I can do for you is cite the case of Emmerich Dodendorfer.
Who's he?
Yes. Nice fella, Emmerich. Mount Ida resident and second cousin of Flieger Zinkerfuss.
I knowed we'd work around to the Zinkerfusses sooner or later.
Just 3 weeks ago, Emmerich Dodendorfer was practically destitute. And now he is a millionaire worth several $1,000s.
Several thousand in just 3 weeks? How'd he do it?
Yes.
You don't say.
3 weeks ago, Emmerich was considering suicide when he happened to read an article about an artist who was an unsuccessful failure.
That's the worst kind.
This artist decided to take his last few dollars and spend it all on one last fancy dinner. While sitting in the restaurant waiting for his deviled crab...
Oh, he was married, huh?
While waiting there, he absentmindedly sketched a picture on the tablecloth, which an art dealer happened to see and bought from him for $5,000.
Well, I had no idea that tablecloth was worth that.
By the way, love, do you know who that artist was?
No. Who was it, man?
I don't know. Anyway, Emmerich decided to try the same thing. He took his last few dollars, went to a high-class restaurant, ordered deviled crab, and drew a picture on the tablecloth.
Yeah, and did an art dealer come along?
No, they threw Emmerich out for ruining the tablecloth. And on top of that, he got sick from eating the deviled crab.
But, Ben, I thought you said he made thousands of dollars.
Fine. However, when they threw Emmerich out, he landed on a very wealthy oil man.
Oh, I'm beginning to see now.
The wealthy oil man quickly interviewed Emmerich, took his name and address, and the very next day, Emmerich received a letter from the oil man saying that he was suing him for damages.
But, Ben, you said that he was worth...
Yes. However, on his way to court, Emmerich stumbled and fell, and while down on the sidewalk, he found an 1881 Indian head penny.
Oh!
He took his penny... put it in a slot machine, and it got stuck in there.
Now, wait, Ben. Just how did he make all those thousands of dollars?
Oh, Emmerich never made a nickel in his life.
Well, how'd he get the money, then?
2 days ago, he inherited $50,000 from his uncle. See you later, Lum. And if you think of any way of raising a lot of money fast, let me know. I'd like to get in on it.
You ain't never gonna raise that money tramping around over town this away, barring a little dab here and a little dab there.
Well, I've got $50 already.
Yeah, and lost 60 friends doing it. Lum, I'm going back to the store where I can be poor and popular.
No, wait. We're going in the lunchroom here and hit up Luke Spears.
Yeah, he'll hit you right back, too.
Yeah, come on.
No, sir, that ornery little critter will throw us right out of there, Lum.
Oh, he ain't as bad as all that. He just puts that on. Hiding under that rough exterior is a heart of gold.
Well, I know he's hiding his gold summers. He ain't putting none of it out, I know that. I'll see you back at the store, Lum.
All right, traitor. Well, howdy, Luke, old boy, old pal.
Huh? Oh, howdy, Lum.
How's business, old kid, old friend, old buddy?
How much do I want to borrow?
Well, now, wait a minute, Luke. Don't go flying off the handlebars. I'm doing this for a good cause. It's for the good of Pine Ridge. I'm raising money to send me to Leavenworth, Kansas.
You're right. That's the best thing that could happen to Pine Ridge. I'm for that. How much is my share?
Now, wait a minute. The National Horned Owl Convention is going to be there this week, and I thought as long as you're a lodge brother, and, well, it seems to me that we all want Pine Ridge to be well represented there, and...
Oh, great jumping Jehoshaphat. Here comes that Birdie Finn.
Birdie? He looks more like a vulture.
Miss Finch? What do you have?
Well, I really don't know. It's so hard for a young girl to make up her mind.
Yes, it is. But let's talk about you. What do you want?
Well, I have to be careful what I eat. I have to watch my figure, you know.
Why?
Well, I have to. Nobody else watches it anymore.
Well, what do you want?
Well, I'll take some macaroni with spaghetti, a few baked potatoes with a side order of hash browns, and a mashed potato sandwich.
Won't all that starchy stuff make you bulge out?
Well, it'll help.
All right. It'll take me a few minutes to fix all that up.
Well, I'll wait for you.
Now, what are you saying, Lum?
Well, it seems to me it'd be a nice feather in Pine Ridge's cap if we had a good delegate to...
Lucy, don't put in any salt.
I ain't. This is arsenic.
My doctor told me to give up salt. Or was it sugar? Or maybe it was pepper. Come to think of it, all he said was, Miss Finch, why don't you give up?
Well, a doctor knows best. Now, what were you saying, Lum?
Well, I figure it'd be worth a lot to our lodge members to send in
Lucy!
A...
What?
You're the sweetest thing today. Go ahead, put in the salt. Put in everything. I want to live. I want to live!
Shut up, then. Go ahead, Lum. Go right ahead.
Well, it'll cost us all a little something, but think of the publicity we'll get.
Well, how much do you reckon you'll need?
Oh, hour and a half.
Lucy, I've changed my mind. I don't want the macaroni. Have you any suggestions?
Yes, and if you ain't careful, I'll suggest them.
Lucy, you're sweet.
What I was saying, Luke, I've got $50 so far, but I ought to have another $150, and I'm going to have to raise it awful fast. It looks like the only thing for me to do is go to a loan company at the county seat.
Yeah, wait a minute. Here comes Mr. Niles. Maybe he'll lend you some money, Lum.
Oh, I doubt it. Not that meter miser.
Yeah, howdy, Mr. Niles. Could you lend Lum $200?
Abner, hush up. That ain't nice.
Well, how soon do you need it?
Well, right away. He had $50 of it, but he lost it on a horse.
Well, did the horse come in pretty far behind?
Far behind? He come in so late, he had to tiptoe into the barn.
Well, I'll tell you, Lum, when you're dealing with horses, you should think of them as refrigerators.
Now, just what do you mean by that?
Well, when you set out to pick a new refrigerator for your home, you're going to be mighty particular, and you should be. Maybe it hasn't struck you just this way, but there are more than 10 million good, sound reasons for my suggesting that your first choice be Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. Over 10 million refrigerating units have been built and sold by Frigidaire. That's experience that just can't be matched anywhere else. It's experience that's built right into the refrigerators you see at your Frigidaire dealers. It's experience that means dependable service. That's as important to you through the years as any other special feature of these great refrigerators. And there are plenty of special features. Many of them exclusive with Frigidaire in all 9 different models. This wide choice of models gives you plenty of leeway in picking the one that will best suit your family and your kitchen in size, in price. And remember this, in any Frigidaire refrigerator, and only in Frigidaire, you'll get the simplest cold-making mechanism ever built, the famous carefree meter miser. That's one more reason for choosing America's number one refrigerator. Yes, do as others have done more than 10 million times. Choose Frigidaire.
Yeah, but how about that loan that you was going to give Lum?
Well,
Abner, don't give him another opening or we never will get out of here. Come on, we got to go to the county seat. So long, Mr. Niles.
Doggies, Lum, this is the silliest one thing you did so far. Driving clean up here to the county seat to borrow money from the loan company.
Well, I tried every other way to raise the dough and just kept losing ground.
Well, what did you have to drag me along for?
Of course, in order to get a loan, I have to have a cosigner.
Well, I ain't got one on us.
you are the co-signer.
I am? Well, good for me.
Just what is that?
That's the feller they chase in case they can't catch the feller that borrowed the money. Come on, let's go in.
No, now, wait a minute now, Lon.
There's nothing to be afeard of. Just look at the name of the place. The Golden Fleece Finance Corporation. Friendly, confidential credit with no embarrassing questions and nothing to pay except the payment. That's nice. Come on.
Well, well, well. Come right in, neighbors. I'm mighty happy to see you. Yes, sir. Shake hands, dear friend.
Well, how do you do?
And is this a friend of yours here?
I thought you said no embarrassing questions.
Well, now, let's just sit down here in these big, comfortable, friendly chairs and talk over this little old loan in a neighborly way. Hey, neighbor?
Well, sure, I'd like to get 200 little old neighborly dollars. How long can I have to repay it back?
Well, I'll tell you, old friend, I can let you have $200 for a month, old boy.
What would a month old boy want with $200?
Yeah, I want this for myself.
All right, neighbor, we'll just fix you right up. Fill out this little old friendly questionnaire here. Now, where's my friendly fountain pen?
Say, wait a minute. Ain't you just plain Bill, that used car dealer?
Well, yes. Oh, sure, I remember you. I sold you a car.
Was that what that was?
Well, sir, I had to get out of that racket. The bottom was starting to fall out.
I know. It was starting to fall out of the one you sold us.
Now then, name and address?
Lum Edwards, Pine Ridge.
All right. Race?
What did you have to do, race you for the money?
No. But it's a company policy not to lend money to anyone who can outrun our collectors.
Oh. Well, you got an awful good wrist in Lum, man. At the last Elks picnic, he was entered in the sack race.
How'd he come out?
Sack out, Randy.
It just happened to be a strong wind that day.
Well, let's see here. Current salary?
Sometimes, yes.
What was the most money you made during any week last year?
$25.
What were you engaged in at the time?
Unemployment.
Yeah, when he works, he don't make half that much.
All right, now we come to the little old homie subject of collateral.
Collateral? What's that?
Well, you've got to put up something that's worth more than the amount we lend you. Then if you don't pay the loan, you don't get back what you put up.
You don't? Hey, Lum, reckon we could put up Elizabeth?
No, you can't use your woman for collateral.
Oh, I didn't think so.
Yeah, about the only thing we've got is the Jot'em Down store.
All right, fine.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I don't want to take a chance on losing the store. How do we know this company's reliable?
Oh, you don't need to worry about that. We have branches in every city in the country where the laws aren't too strict.
Yeah, but when Lum can't pay, which he won't be able to do, you'll take the store away from him.
Oh, you don't need to worry about that either.
I know.
We're always very kind, courteous, and considerate.
Well.
We never take advantage of... Oh, excuse me while I answer the phone.
Yeah, nice.
Golden Fleece Finance Corporation.
Love that name.
Well, how much overdue is their payment, Max? 30 minutes? Oh, well, have a heart, Max. Give him another old 5 or 10 minutes. Why, certainly. You can't take the bed right out from under an old man while he's sleeping. Well, that's not kind and courteous. Wake him up first. All right, goodbye. Well, Mr. Edwards, I guess we're all set.
Good. Do I get my $200 now?
Oh, no. You won't get that until after our investigators looked over your store. He'll be there late this afternoon.
He will?
Yes, that is, if he can find some place to borrow enough money to make the trip. Good day.
Well,
my goodness, there's a car stopping out in front.
Huh?
That must be the investigator from the finance company.
Yeah, that's him, that's him.
Abner, did you tell everybody to come in the store and pretend they're giving us big orders?
Yeah, well, I tried to get a lot of them, but all I could get was Ben and Luke.
Well, in that case, you'd better be a customer, too.
Me? Why, Lum, I wouldn't trade in a dump like this.
Well, just swallow your pride long enough to help me out, please. If we don't make this store look rich and prosperous, I won't get that loan. And if I don't get the loan, I won't get to go to Leavenworth to the convention.
Well, ain't that a shame?
Now, here comes the investigator. You sneak out the back way and then come in the front and make off like you're a rich customer. Go on.
All right, but don't you go raising the prices on me.
Well, what do you care? You get half the profit.
Oh, yeah, well, raise them up then.
Well, how do you do, sir? I reckon you're the investigator.
Why, yes, you're right. How did you know?
Well, I've been expecting you. Natural.
Oh. Well, in that case, we might as well get right down to business. I guess the first thing to do is start going over your books.
Yeah, all right. I doubt if you can understand them, though. No, I never can. Oh, excuse me. There comes one of my rich customers, of which I have numerous numbers of.
Howdy do you do, Mr. Edwards, wealthy storekeeper?
Don't overdo it, Abner. Yes, sir. What can I do for you today, Mr. Beacon Van Storage?
Why, let me see. I believe I'd like a couple of mouse traps.
Make it bigger than that.
All right, make it a couple of bear traps then.
I'm sorry, Mr. Beacon Van Storage. I ain't got a one left.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I just do such a rushing business here, I just can't keep nothing in stock.
Yes. Well, let's see then. I'd like a nice, expensive yacht.
Well, what'd you do with the one I sold you yesterday?
I've used it.
Sure, what's the matter with me?
Say, if you can change some $1,000 bills for me, why, I'll run across the street and buy one from somebody else.
Well, I could change them, but I just hate to take the time to dig through them barrels of money to find the right change.
Did I understand you to say barrels of money?
Yeah, you know how it is. You miss going to the bank one day and the stuff stacks up on you.
Well, your books don't seem to show that much business.
Oh, well, I do so much business here, I don't have time to put half of it down in the book. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Withers?
Fine.
What can I do for you today?
I want 200 cans of beans, 900 pounds of sugar, 30 sacks of flour, 800 packages of Fig Newton.
My, your order's a little light today, Mr. Withers.
500 sacks of cornstarch, 2,000 crooked neck squashes, one yacht.
I used a yacht, Ben.
Excuse me.
Mr. Edwards, do you actually do this kind of business every day?
Oh, this is a slack day around here.
300 pairs of men's slacks.
Howdy, Lum. I want 3,000 yards of green olives and...
Luke, I wonder if you could come back tomorrow.
What's the matter? Didn't the investigator show up?
He's here. I'm just too dead blame busy to wait on you today, Luke.
800 cans of mushroom buttons.
900 cans of mushroom buttonholes.
Mr. Edwards, I don't see how you can handle all this business yourself.
Oh, it's hard. What it's done to me is just make me a broke-down, wretched millionaire.
Well, Lum, I want 25 pounds of gopher poison. I want it wrapped as a gift.
As a gift?
Yeah, look who's coming in.
Oh. Miss Finch, I'm terrible busy right now.
Well, Mr. Gretner called back and said he made a mistake. Your horse ran in the fifth race all right, but he didn't come in last.
He never?
No, he come in first.
Huh?
In the sixth race.
Well, it don't matter no ways. I don't know what to do with all the money I've got now.
Well, Mr. Edwards, I hate to interrupt you when you're so busy, but...
Oh, that's perfect all right. I guess you saw enough by now to make a report on me to your office.
Yes, indeed. I've seen plenty. And I'll report it right away.
Well, good. Now, how soon can I get the loan?
The loan?
Yeah. You're the investigator from the finance company, ain't you?
No, I'm the investigator from the Bureau of Internal Revenue. And your failure to report all this income will undoubtedly win you a free trip to Leavenworth.
Free trip to Leavenworth? I dog is lum, now you get to make that speech on honesty in business after all.
Lum and Abner will be back in just a minute, but first, here is an important question. Want to know two or three dozen different ways a home freezer can simplify meal making for you? Ask your Frigidaire dealer to prove to you how much time and work you can save yourself with the great new Frigidaire home freezer, built by the makers of America's number one refrigerator.
Hurry up, Lum. Tell me, how did you come out with the income tax man? How soon do you leave for Leavenworth?
I ain't going.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, when he found out what bad shape our store was actually in, he gave me a $200 refund.
Well, $200? Well, why ain't you going then?
Abner, I've come just as close to Leavenworth as I ever want to get.
The new Lum and Abner Show is brought to you each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer and Frigidaire Division of General Motors, manufacturers of a complete line of home appliances, air conditioners, and commercial refrigeration equipment. Ben Withers is played by Clarence Hartzell. The script is written by Roz Rogers and Betty Boyle, with music by Felix Mills. Listen next Sunday and every Sunday to the three great comedy shows, Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, and Lum and Abner. So until then, this is Wendell Niles saying goodnight for Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.